الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. It's very common that we hear this phrase today, that our deen, that Islam comprises of two things. One is Quran al-Kitabullah, and second is the Sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But a question that what exactly is the relationship between the Quran and the Sunnah in terms of the legitimacy, in terms of authenticity, what is the relationship which exists between the two? And we'll see that in our times, in terms of the legitimacy and the authenticity and the hujiyat of the Sunnah, we see that Sunnah as compared to Quran is often underrated, sometimes even undervalued, and certainly it's underemphasized. The importance of the Sunnah, the rank of the Sunnah in our day and age is very underemphasized. Often we hear this phrase that why do I need to do this? Is it absolutely fard? Is it absolutely mandatory for me to do this? Why should I do this? It's just sunnah. And when a person speaks like this, it actually reflects the mentality, right? The mentality which that person has, it reflects our thinking that we relegate the sunnah. We undervalue the sunnah. We don't value the sunnah as it ought to be valued. We don't understand. We haven't even understood the importance of the sunnah. The importance, the maqam, the rank of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. So actually, as in sunnah, it's not secondary to Quran. We need to understand this, that sunnah, in terms of its hujjat, in terms of its ability to make things fard or wajib, right? Sunnah and Quran are equal. So in terms of its authenticity, sunnah and Quran, in terms of its authority, sunnah and Quran are equal. Sometimes we have this word in usul al-fiqh, right? The principles of legal methodology, we use this word sharia. So what does sharia mean? Sharia actually means both Quran and sunnah. Quran plus sunnah. So really, as in what we need to do, what we need to understand is actually the maqam of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Because if you don't know the maqam, the rank of Sayyidina Rasulullah, we will never be able to appreciate the rank of sunnah as mentioned in the Quran. So, and even understanding this rank of Sayyidina Rasulullah, there is a more fundamental question, a more fundamental aspect which we need to understand first of all. And that is actually the question that why actually did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Sayyidina Rasulullah to us in the first place? What was the reason? What was the maqsad? What was the mission? Right? What was the prophetic function? What was the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to send Sayyidina Rasulullah to us? There's a very famous, very fundamental ayah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us why he chose to send Sayyidina Rasulullah. And this is the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the four prophetic functions of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There are four missions because of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Rasulullah to us. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there is a big لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that it's actually a big favor, big ihsan we call in Urdu, right? Big favor, big ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has sent upon the mu'mineen. That إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. That it's a big ihsan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has sent the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. So as in, we'll just pause here and take this ayah bit by bit. So this the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this ayah, it's ajeeb that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it's my favor upon the mu'mineen. Mannallahu ala al-mu'mineen. Now, if you think about this, there is so many blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, so many ni'mah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us and mentioned in Quran. But nowhere do we see in Quran this style where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed us by saying that it's actually my big favor upon you that I've sent these blessings to you. We don't see this, right? We don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invoking such phrases to show that it's a big favor, big ihsan upon the mu'mineen. And there are so many blessings, right? If we were to count all those blessings, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place, that وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ لَا تَحْصُوهَا, that even if you were to count all those ni'mah, those blessings, you won't even be able to count those blessings. But yet, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give an introduction that I'm sending you, O mu'mineen, I'm sending you such a big blessing that I'm actually telling you it's my favor, it's my ihsan upon you. So this actually shows that this is incredible rank of Sayyidina Rasulullah, the incredible rank of this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is sort of like telling us a preface, right? That this is, know that this blessing is something which is very unique. This blessing, it's my ihsan, it's my favor upon you. What is the ihsan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done on us? So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I've sent Sayyidina Rasulullah, إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And then yatlu alayhim ayatihi. So he sent Sayyidina Rasulullah for this purpose, which is number one. Yatlu alayhim ayatihi, that to recite the revelation. To recite the ayah means recite Quran, recite revelation, recite wahi. So this is actually the first. This is actually the first prophetic function that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Rasulullah as a means of delivering the revelation. Delivering the verses of the Quran, delivering Quran itself. Now, it's actually very unfortunate that most or some people today think that this is the only reason why Sayyidina Rasulullah was sent to us. This recitation of Quran was the only reason, and they have this what we call sometimes the parrot theory of prophethood, Nauzubillah. That Nauzubillah, Sayyidina Rasulullah just came into our lives to recite the verses, that's it. There's no more function, there's no other maqsad of Sayyidina Rasulullah. That they just limit this to this first aspect of this ayah, yatlu alayhim ayatihi. And we'll see, as in, this is actually not true. Obviously, this is not true because the ayah continues. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us three other reasons why He chose to send Sayyidina Rasulullah. So there are three other prophetic functions. And the ayah says that, so, wa yatlu alayhim ayatihi. And then second, wa yuzakkihim. Wa yuzakkihim. That to purify the hearts of the Sahaba Ikram. Yuzakki means tazkiyah, purification of the heart, purification of the soul. And the first khitab, the first addressee of this khitab was the Sahaba Ikram. So this actually relates to the Sahaba Ikram, that Sayyidina Rasulullah will do the tazkiyah of the Sahaba Ikram. But it also means, in other sense, that Sayyidina Rasulullah will leave behind teachings of tazkiyah, will leave behind teachings of purification, will leave behind teachings of the purification and tazkiyah of our heart and soul. And if a person is able to inculcate and follow those teachings, then those teachings will serve to do the tazkiyah of the entire ummah. Right? Even after the Sahaba Ikram, people will be able to benefit from these teachings and do their tazkiyah. They will be able to get this purification done, purification of the heart and soul. So this shows, this ayah itself shows that Sayyidina Rasulullah will leave behind the teachings, right? We'll leave behind teachings that will help us purify ourselves, even in this day and age, right? Even in 2013, we'll be able to purify ourselves. And also, as in, if you look at the ayah, the Arabic, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this is an ihsan upon the mu'mineen, alal mu'mineen, which means that in order for this ayah, in order for this to be an ihsan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on all of the mu'mineen, these functions of prophethood have to last till the day of judgment. They have to last till the day of judgment. So this ayah proves that parrot theory wrong. That love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa, all of these things, these are feelings that are part of yuzakkihim. Acquiring sabr, patience, acquiring gratitude, sugar, acquiring reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these sifat, these are part of the prophetic function of yuzakkihim. And these teachings will last. These teachings of purification will last till the end, till the day of judgment. So the ayah continues, and the third aspect which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ تَعْلِيم of the Kitab. That Sayyidina Rasulullah will teach Quran. So it's not just, so we have to make a distinction there. It's not just recitation of the verses. That's a separate aspect. This is something different. This is Ta'limul Kitab. This is teaching Quran, explaining Quran, right? For example, Quran tells us that we have to pray 5 times every day. But how do we have to pray the Salah? How many rakas do we have in Fajr, in Dhuhr? What do we need to recite in Salah? All of this is taught to us by the Sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. So meaning that for this ihsan to be true for all mu'mineen, these teachings also have to last till the Day of Judgment. And we see this, that these teachings are preserved, are protected in those books of fiqh, the tafsir teachings, the hadith teachings, all those books, all those manuals, all those commentaries, they are geared towards preserving this function of يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, of explaining the book. And lastly, this ayah mentions وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, so teaching the book and now teaching wisdom, teaching hikmah. As in one way you can translate hikmah is wisdom, but there are also other ways in which we can understand this concept of hikmah. For instance, some people have taken this to mean that all the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah that are other than the tafsir of Quran, that's hikmah. Basically what that means is how to live our life. Living a life according to the Sunnah, that's part of this hikmah, part of the definition of this. While hikmah, it could also mean the rules of, or the ways or means of collective living as a society, right? How to deal with each other, or how to have relationships, what sort of relationship a person needs to have with their spouses, their parents, as a community, as a society, with unbelievers, as an ummah, the teachings which have to do, which relate to this global civilization of the ummah, of the believers. So this could also mean hikmah. Now it's only this first function which has ended in our times. The first function, the yatlu alayhim, the recitation of the verses. But the remaining three functions Sayyidina Rasulullah has left behind teachings for us. And this was part of his mission on earth, that to leave these teachings which will enable that the other three prophetic functions continues till the end of time. So the vessel of these three teachings have to be with us till the Day of Judgment. Linked to this, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Rasulullah is another important question, is that we need to understand and realize the maqam of Sayyidina Rasulullah in our life. And this we need to do, as in this, there are four Arabic words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, which actually explain the relationship. Which actually explain the relationship which a mu'min needs to have with their Nabi. Four Arabic words, four verses in Quran, which very beautifully spell out what a relationship a mu'min needs to have with Sayyidina Rasulullah. The relationship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have, as mentioned in Quran, with Sayyidina Rasulullah. So the first ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, قُلْ أَتِيُ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ قُلْ أَتِيُ اللَّهَ War Rasul. So the word is ata'at. That say, O my beloved Prophet, to the people, that obey Allah and the Messenger. So this ita'at means obedience, to obey Sayyidina Rasulullah. This actually is the first ta'alluq, first relationship which we have with Sayyidina Rasulullah. That we need to obey Sayyidina Rasulullah. Obey Allah and obey the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this wow in Arabic, right? Kul ati'u Allah wa Rasul. This wow in Arabic actually links both of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah. But as in many people also say that, okay, as in show me ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. That also is present. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought this word ati'u Allah again, right? To emphasize that this ata'at is not just for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ata'at, this obedience has to be for Sayyidina Rasulullah also. It's another place, another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. That, O people of Iman, O those people who have professed to have Iman, obey Allah, ati'u Allah, wa ati'u Rasul, and obey the Messenger, obey Sayyidina Rasulullah. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it very clear that obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeying Sayyidina Rasulullah. So we have a repetition of the word form. And why, as in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats, there's many ayahs where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this obedience, ita'at. But in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. So we see that لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, that actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing some taraghib here. That obey Sayyidina Rasulullah, obey the Messenger. Why? Because لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, it's in your own faida. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will descend upon you. It's in your own benefit that if you obey the Messenger, obey Sayyidina Rasulullah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy will descend upon you. Another place, this is actually a very important, very strong ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that مَنْ يُتِئِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. Allah Akbar. مَنْ يُتِئِ الرَّسُولَ, that he who obeys Sayyidina Rasulullah فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ, it's as if he has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ, but those who turn away, فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا, we have not sent you over them as a guardian. This is actually a very strong ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually equated obedience to Sayyidina Rasulullah with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows the incredible rank, the incredible maqam of the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Hence, ita'at, right? This is the legalistic aspect of the deen. Obedience. Obedience in all aspects of our deen. What is obedience? Then it's very easy to understand this obedience. We have this example, we see all the time, we have an officer when he commands his subordinate. The subordinate doesn't question back, he just obeys. That's what we're supposed to do. Just listen to the commandment and obey. Sami'na wa atana. In fact, if you look at the difference between the mu'mineen and the Jews, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, who were the Jews? They used to listen. They were people who used to listen. Sami'na, but what they used to do? They used to disobey. Disobey their messenger, disobey their prophet. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Quran, right? Sami'na wa asayna. This is the characteristic, this is the sifat of the Jews of the Yahud. They used to listen and used to disobey. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to mention the sifat, the attribute of the mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that these are people, this is the group which listens and they obey. Sami'na wa atana. They listen to the message of the Prophet and they do ita'at. They obey the message. They obey the commandment. Now we should also think and reflect upon this ayah that we don't say like the Jews, right? We don't say that we listen and we disobey. But sometimes our actions speak louder than words. We say this in English, our actions speak louder than words. Sometimes we don't say that we are disobeying with our words, but sometimes our actions reflect our disobedience. Our actions sometimes speak of our disobedience. How many times you have heard this hadith, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-dhina. Right? That riba, that backbiting is more shadid, it's more grave than zina. And yet, as in sometimes we just indulge in this sin of backbiting, of doing ribat. So we may not be saying this with our words that we are disobeying this hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah. But our actions, when we are actually backbiting, our actions are speaking louder. They show, they testify to our disobedience. So we should be very careful that this is a problem. To know this, to reflect upon this, that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to obey Sayyidina Rasulullah. It's a fundamental feature of our relationship with Sayyidina Rasulullah. Obedience, ita'at. Now, there is another second relationship which also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have, and this is more than ita'at. It's one step further than ita'at, and which is ittiba. Ittiba, to follow. This, like the sunnah lifestyle, it's something which we are supposed to follow. So ita'at meant obey, and ittiba is one level up, to follow the footsteps on the path of Siratul Mustaqim. To do everything the sunnah way, the way the Prophet ﷺ himself would have done it. So this is following the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ. Placing our own steps in the footprints of Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ, on this path of Siratul Mustaqim. And where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use this word? For Sayyidina Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّ الَّذِي يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْكَلِمَاتِهِ وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ وَاتَّبِعُوا. So this is the word ittiba. And the verse, so believe in Allah and His Messenger. Ummi, the unlettered prophet, who believes in Allah and His words. وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and follow him. And follow him that you may be guided. So this is ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes that we need to do ittiba, the following of the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. And this ittiba is a very general concept. It includes both the outer sunnahs of Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW, it includes the inner sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. When a person has kamil ittiba, kamil following, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself blesses the person with even the style of the Prophet ﷺ. His way of talking, his way of walking, all of these things is actually preserved in the Shamail al-Tirmidhi. All these things, the andaz of Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ, the smile of Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ, all of these things are preserved. And the idea is that the person brings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this kamil ittiba, this kamil following of Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, out of his mercy, adorns such a person with these sifat, with these attributes, with this andaz, with this style, with this charisma, which Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ had. And also there is another important ayah, which although doesn't use this word ittiba, but it shows the incredible importance of following Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah that وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولِ وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولِ, that whatever Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ has given you, فَخُذُوهُ, you should take it. You should grab hold of it. You should hold firmly onto it. And وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ, and whatever Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ has forbidden you, فَانْتَهُ, you should refrain from it. You should leave it. Very strong ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, we should take whatever Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ has told us and just leave whatever Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ has forbidden us. It's a very clear, crystal clear commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third relationship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have is this verse, is this Arabic word which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Quran, is Uswa. Uswa. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ. So, Uswa, it's very difficult to translate this word into English, right? Uswa, actually, if you want to understand what this Uswa means, think about like an ideal, right? A role model, a means to emulate. Now, this is something which is referring to something which is even more absolute. One thing is to obey, to do, to have ita'at, to obey someone. Second thing is to do ittiba, to follow their footsteps. And third, and here Uswa is referring to this, is to your pattern your very being after that person. To emulate that person in your speech, in your thoughts, in your emotions. Make everything about your life according to theirs. This is the mark which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That certainly in the Messenger of Allah you'll find the most beautiful example. The Uswatun Hasana, you'll find the most excellent model, the most excellent ideal, the most perfect ideal for you. And you should emulate that model. This is the mark which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us. This is how deeply Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be engaged with the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar Kabir. And you look at our own times and look at our own lives which we are leading. It's a big tragedy that we have relegated the rank of sunnah. We do so little qadr of the sunnah. We like to view sunnah as something which is optional. Brother, it's just sunnah. In other words, what we are saying is that, oh brother, this is just something which is optional. It's something which is unnecessary. All these things, it reflects our mentality, that how superficial a relationship we have with the sunnah. We don't realize how these verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how deeply we need to be engaged with the sunnah. And we look at our society and we look that everyone is engaged with some other thing except for the sunnah. Something apart from the sunnah. Whether it be engaged in some philosophy, some ism, secularism, materialism, liberalism, some philosophy, some ideology, or it be engaged with some fashion, some idea of fashion, fashion, culture, media. One person, one football player has a haircut and the entire youth, right, they go after him and have that same haircut. I remember it used to be this David Beckham haircut. People used to be crazy mad about this. What is this? This is emulating? This is what Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have with Sayyidina Rasulullah, to emulate each and every aspect. And we are going and chasing after these fashions, emulating different people, emulating our fashion, emulating society. We should think the Sunnah is designed as an ideology. Yes, we should think about this. When we think about Sunnah, we should think of it as an ideology, as an identity, right? As a philosophy, as a mentality, then we need to drown ourselves in this sunnah, drown ourselves in this mentality, drown ourselves in this philosophy, adorn ourselves with this identity. Right? This is where the beauty of Sayyidina Rasulullah comes in. Uswatun hasana. This is the beautiful sunnah. And we should ask ourselves, this ayah al-Fadl is telling us that sunnah is beautiful. Sunnah is the most beautiful, it's the most perfect, most noble thing. We should ask ourselves that, do I view the sunnah as beautiful? Or do I have my own sense of beauty? Do I view the external sunnah, the zahiri sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah as beautiful? Or do I view some other thing, fashion, media, culture as beautiful? Do I view the batini, the inner sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah as beautiful? Or do I have my own ideologies, my own thoughts, my own philosophies, my own feelings that I find to be beautiful? We should think about this. We should ask ourselves this question. And we should always remember this usul, this principle in our deen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually placed all of beauty. All of beauty in this world has been put in the life of Sayyidina Rasulullah, has been put in the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. It's like the example of an architect, which we often give. Right? If you want to build a house and you go into an architect and tell him that I want to build this house. So the architect said, oh, wait a second, let me just show you my portfolio. Let me show you what I have created, the other buildings which I have created. Let me show you my masterpiece creation, and then you can decide whether you want to build a house or not. So this actually, say, the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah is actually the masterpiece creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you want to know who I love, if you want to know how a human being can become perfect, you should look at my Nabi. You should look at Sayyidina Rasulullah. These days, many people like to study Islam. They want to study like atoms and subatomic particles and particle physics. They want to study and look and be amazed by the galaxies and Milky Ways and solar systems and black holes and all of that, right? And all of science. But infinitely more beautiful, infinitely more amazing than all of that is the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. Each and every sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah has so much depth, so much profundity, so much beauty, so much perfection to it. Much more than anything else in this world. Sayyidina Rasulullah says it's the epitome of beauty, of mercy, of humility, of manners, of adab, of akhlaq. All of beauty and all of goodness, can, whatever we can imagine when we think about beauty, all of that can be found in the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that in Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uswatun hasana. View what I'm telling you as beautiful as beautiful. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views himself as beautiful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we should also view that to be beautiful. And if we view that to be beautiful, what I view to be beautiful, then you will be successful. And you will be beautiful in my eyes. Subhanallah. A person views what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has made beautiful, as beautiful, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that person beautiful in his eyes. But then there is the second part of this ayah, that not everyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says that not everyone will find this sunnah to be attractive. Not everyone will find this sunnah to be beautiful. So there's something which will control this attraction. And what's that? Allah says, لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. That only that person will be able to find the sunnah beautiful. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ. That person who yearns for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yearns for the akhirah, wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah. And with dhakar Allah kathir, who does abundant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dhikr kathir, only such a person will be able to find this sunnah beautiful. Every single Muslim will say that Sayyidina Rasulullah was sent to us as an example, but not everyone will love this example equally. The greater the attraction, the greater the emulation, the less the attraction, the less the emulation. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, what will control this attraction is dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. More a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more he recognizes the sunnah is beautiful. More he recognizes the sunnah is beautiful, and more he will try to adorn himself with the attributes of the sunnah itself. And that person who is distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who doesn't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is ghafil, who is heedless of the remembrance of Allah, then just such a person will not find the sunnah beautiful. Yes, this is Quran, Azim al-Shan, that this person will not find sunnah beautiful. And it's very easy to understand that if you have a sick person, if you place a plate of biryani, like to have biryani, if you place a plate of biryani before him, but that person is sick, he won't be enticed by the scent of that biryani. Why? Because he is sick. He's a sick person. Same case. The sunnah itself is very beautiful. But for that person who is distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is actually spiritually sick. And because he is spiritually sick, he won't find the sunnah to be beautiful. To be haseen, uswatun hasana. He won't view it as being uswatun hasana. This was the third, and there's also another, the final, and this is actually the be-all and the end-all of the relationship which a person needs to have with Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. And this is actually the word which Allah SWT mentioned in Quran, which is muhabba. This is a ta'alluq of muhabba. Every ummati needs to have this ta'alluq of love for Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. This is actually the foundation of our relationship with Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. To love him. To love him and love him more than anyone else, anything else in this world. Allahu Akbar. This ayah which Allah SWT mentions in Quran, very strong ayah. Allah SWT tells us more than your father, more than your brothers, more than your sons, more than your wives, much more than any and every love which we can think of, much more than that is the love which Allah SWT wants us to have for Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. So Allah SWT says in Quran that Qul, that O my beloved messenger, say to the people, In kana aba'ukum wa abana'ukum wa ikhwanakum wa azwajukum wa ashiratukum wa amwalun, that if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your relatives, your wealth which you have obtained, and the commerce, all of your dwellings in which we live in, the masakin, all of these things, if they are more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, وَرَسُولُهُ وَجَهَادٌ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّسُوا, then wait, Allah. فَتَرَبَّسُوا, then you should wait. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ, wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala executes His command. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْتِ الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't guide the disobedient, doesn't guide the fasiq people, the people who disobey. This is actually a very strong ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is counting to us one by one that Sayyidina Rasulullah, the love which you need to have for Sayyidina Rasulullah, it has to be greater than your fathers, aba'ukum wa abana'ukum, your sons, wa ikhwanukum, your brothers, wa azwajukum, your wives, wa ashiratukum, your relatives, wa amwal, your money, your wealth which you have obtained, wa tijaratun, your commerce, wa masakin, your dwellings, all of these things. You have love for them, fine, but your love for Sayyidina Rasulullah has to be greater. Ahab. That's the word Allah SWT has used. Ahabba ilaykum. Ahabba. So the love for Sayyidina Rasulullah has to be greater than all these other loves which we have in this world. So this ayah is actually, it's an encouragement, it's an advice, it's also a proof that it's absolutely necessary, it's absolutely mandatory for a mu'min to love Sayyidina Rasulullah. That is why Sayyidina Rasulullah himself mentioned in the hadith that none of you will believe until I am more beloved to him than his children, than his father, than all of mankind, all of people. This is actually the test of our iman. That none of you will believe, none of you will have perfect kamil iman unless I am more beloved to him than anyone else in this world. This is the power of sunnah. This is the power of sunnah. And this power of the sunnah, this is actually a means of drawing and attracting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is actually a means, ajib, of becoming the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of becoming the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, as in, what is the greatest thing a believer wants in this world? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. You'll say very easily, as in, if I ask you this question, what is the greatest thing which a person, which a mu'min wants in this world? It's very simple. He wants Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. We want to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Just one indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, and that's enough for us. Enough for our success, enough for our falah. Now listen to this ayah very carefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, Qul, that O my beloved, say to the people, In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, that if people come to you and claim that In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, that if you should love Allah, if people come to you, if the Sahaba Ikram come to you and they claim to you that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should redirect them. To what? Fattabi'uni. Tell to them that they should do ittiba of you, that they should follow you. They should follow, in other words, they should follow Sayyidina Rasulullah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually, look, if a person comes to Allah and says, Allah, I love you, Allah, I love you. Will you accept? Will you accept my iman? Will you accept my love which I have to offer to you? Allah SWT actually redirects that person to the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. That, okay, if you claim to love me, and if you claim to be sincere in my love, then do fattabi'u. Fattabi'uni, do the ittaba of Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. Follow the sunnah of my beloved Nabi. Okay, Ya Allah, we claim to love you, we claim to be your lovers. You are telling us that do ittaba of Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW. Okay, if we do this ittaba of Sayyidina Rasulullah SAW also, then will you accept our claim to be your lovers? Allah SWT continues in this ayah that in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. Allahu Akbar. That if you do ittiba of my Nabi, then not only will I accept your claim to be my lover, but I'll make you my beloved. Allah. Yuhibbukum Allah. That Allah SWT will love such a person. Allah SWT will love them. That this person actually started with this. He presented his claim that I want to become your lover. That Ya Allah, you accept my love for you. He started with this claim, but if he does this ittiba of Sayyidina Rasulullah, Allah SWT will make him his beloved. If you want to be my lover, and if you want me to love you, follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And if you follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah, then I will love you. I'll make you my beloved. This is the power of sunnah. This is the means of mercy, means of being the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, if you just continue with the ayah, even stronger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُحُبِّبُكُمْ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all the sins of such a person. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and most merciful. So this shows the incredible rank, the incredible power of the sunnah, that if a person was to just do this ittiba, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make such a person his beloved. Make that person his beloved. Just a trifle example to understand the true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's also another type of love, the false love, the ishqi majazi. When a guy likes a girl, he starts thinking about the girl, he might start SMSing the girl, and all of a sudden, if he gets an indication that the girl is also interested in me, so he starts to introspect, starts introspecting, that what is it that I will say, what is it about me that I should show her that will make her pleased with me. And similarly, exactly in the same way, a true believer wants to know that what is it that I can do that will make my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with me? What is it that I can do that will make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I'll be able to attract the love and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is telling us that you bring to me this fattabi'uni, bring to me the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. We can emulate the sunnah. The closer we are to the sunnah, the closer we are to being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's truest lover. And above all, the closer we are to being his truest beloved. So I'll end with a small note. Now, that despite knowing all of this, people still sometimes ask that, what is it? What is the point of emulating the sunnah? And many people ask this question about the zahir. That what is the point of emulating the zahiri sunnah, the outward sunnah? Why do I have to eat the sunnah way? Why do I have to drink the sunnah way? Why do I have to walk the sunnah way? Right? Why is there so much stress on the zahir? Why can't I just do the batin, the inward sunnah? So apart from the above, as in another way we can understand this concept is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, this zahir and the batin, our deen is flooded with this concept of zahir and the batin. There's the zahir of the deen, there's also the batin aspects of our deen. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his name himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two names, Al-Zahir and Al-Batin. The outward, the manifest, the apparent, and Al-Batin, the inward, the hidden. And even the whole idea, if you look at the Ramadan, the month of Ramadan and the message of Ramadan and the maqsad of Ramadan, this also teaches us this link between the Zahir and the Batin. This link, this connection between the Zahir and the Batin. That a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in Ramadan, right, we should abstain from eating and lawful relations for those who are married. What are these things? These are zahiri things, right? These are outward things. These are apparent things. But the maqsad is that when a person does these things, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that a person is able to acquire taqwa. Taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God consciousness, right? Consciousness, awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This obviously is something which is batin. So you see there's a link that a person, when someone does something in the Zahir, he's able to get the Batin. Actually, the Zahir is a means, a route of getting to the Batin. We should think about the Zahir and the Batin also, that the Zahir actually affects our Batin, and our Batin affects our Zahir. They're both interrelated. They cannot be separated. So when a person strives to emulate the Zahir Sunnah, it's actually easier in one sense. It's actually easier to emulate than the Batin Sunnah. And the niyat, the intention we should have when following the Zahiri Sunnah is this, that Ya Allah, O Allah, I'm bringing to you this knuckle of Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I'm trying to do this knuckle by doing everything the way he used to do, by praying all the Sunnah du'as, by carrying out all my tasks the Sunnah way. And Ya Allah, I bring to you this knuckle, and please create in me the asl. Please create in me the reality, the haqiqat. So this is actually important. And we also see this in our modern day world, the cosmetic industry, the neuroscience, psychology, all of that is bent on showing that the batin has an effect on the zahir has an effect on the batin. And it's only when it comes to deen and only when it comes to sunnah that many people, many Muslims, try to deceive themselves and delude themselves by thinking that I have the batin, why do I need to have the zahir? It's actually a delusion. Delusion of their nafs, delusion of their shaitan, which deceives them into thinking that I don't need the zahir. So I thought that we should present this topic to you tonight, because really I think that the time demands that we understand Nubuwwah, we recognize who Sayyidina Rasulullah was, and we start to do value, we start to do qadrdani of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And at least if nothing else, we should try to fulfill the rights of being an ummati of Sayyidina Rasulullah. That Nabi who was so haris about us, that Nabi used to cry and make dua for us the entire night. It comes, it's one Sayyidina Rasulullah used to make dua for us. Just one word dua. Ummati, ummati, ummati. My ummat, my ummat, my ummat. Allah SWT says, Allah SWT telling us in Quran how much closeness Sayyidina Rasulullah had for us. Famous ayah in which Allah SWT gives an introduction that he was haris, Sayyidina Rasulullah was haris about us. Harisun alaykum. That he had hirs for you. He had, quote unquote, as in he was mad about you. He was crazy about you, about each and every one of you. Then Allah SWT says again, this same ayah, that he was Ra'ufur Rahim. He was kind and gentle about you. He was kind and gentle with you. He was Rahim with you. He had mercy. His heart was full of mercy towards you. So these are the sifat. Actually, if you think about these are sifat of Allah SWT. Allah SWT is that being with Ar-Ra'uf. Allah SWT is that being with Ar-Rahim. But Allah SWT, in order to show the relationship, in order to show the feelings and emotions which Sayyidina Rasulullah had for his ummah, Allah SWT is choosing his own sifat, his own attributes. Then nothing else, no other word will be able to capture those feelings of Sayyidina Rasulullah. So Allah SWT had to choose his own words, his own sifat, to explain to us, to show to us the unbelievable, the unimaginable love, the unimaginable generosity and kindness and shafqat, the rahmat and ra'uf and kindness and doting nature of Sayyidina Rasulullah. So it's an incredible honor actually, if you think about this, that we are the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. The previous prophets, they used to make dua that, O Allah, make us among the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. They knew about this, but this shows to us, this was actually the dua of the previous prophets. They wanted to be, they had this desire. They obviously knew that Sayyidina Rasulullah will come after them. But still, they wanted to express their desire. They wanted to register their desire that we want to be the ummah of the last and final messenger. This is a great honor for us that we are the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. We never asked for it. We were born as an ummati, but only we can live a life which can be true, which is worthy of being called an ummati life. Everything about Sayyidina Rasulullah was chosen by Allah SWT, handpicked by Allah SWT. The name Sayyidina Rasulullah as Sayyidina Mustafa, the name itself tells us this message, that everything about Sayyidina Rasulullah was chosen by Allah SWT. Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Tayyibah, the cities, the companions, the Tabi'in, the followers, Ghari Hira, Ghari Sur, all of that, everything was chosen by Allah SWT. And one aspect of that choice by Allah SWT was also His Ummah, the Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. That actually was also chosen by Allah SWT. We're extremely fortunate, extremely, extremely lucky that we are part of that ummah. We were born into that ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. But only as in we have to make ourselves worthy of being an ummah. worthy of being called an ummati. If we can do that, then all those du'as which Sayyidina Rasulullah made for his ummah, we'll be able to derive benefit. Those du'as become applicable for us. The reason why we are not able to capitalize and maximize on those du'as, why those du'as are not working to our favor, is because of our own misdeeds. We haven't made ourselves worthy of being called an ummati. If only we were to become like the ummati, the true ummati, the Sahaba Ikram, the true ummati of Sayyidina Rasulullah, then all those du'as which Sayyidina Rasulullah made for his ummah, we will be able to extract benefit from those du'as. Those du'as will become accepted in our favor. Yes? All we have to do is to become haris of Sayyidina Rasulullah. His teachings, his sunnah, his lifestyle, right? The sunnah lifestyle. Become haris about it. And why shouldn't we be haris about this? If you think about this, Sayyidina Rasulullah, he gave his entire life for us. Gave his entire life for us. It comes in the story of Miraj, very famous story, very touching story, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Sayyidina Rasulullah for this event of Miraj, and Sayyidina Rasulullah went beyond the sixth sky, the seventh sky, beyond all of that, right? All of that, beyond everything. And then Sayyidina Rasulullah was in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, as an ubudiyah became ghalib. And Sayyidina Rasulullah went in sajda, he went in prostration. And he began that beautiful praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which all of us recite in salah, at-tahiyyat. That's actually the praise which Sayyidina Rasulullah recited when he went in sajda at that miraj, the event of miraj. So if you look at the words, at-tahiyyat, at-tahiyyat lillah. So Sayyidina Rasulullah, this is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all the verbal praise belongs to Allah. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu. And all the bodily praises belong to Allah. Wa salawat wa tayyibat. And all the mali, all the monetary praise also belongs to Allah. Tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawat wa tayyibat. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So when Sayyidina Rasulullah praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a beautiful manner, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by saying salam, by sending salam on Sayyidina Rasulullah. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There was salam, peace and blessings and rahmah and mercy be on you, O my beloved Nabi. Now look, at that time, this is just an amazing, for Nabi, for Sayyidina Rasulullah, that's an amazing moment of his life. That direct conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending his salam on Sayyidina Rasulullah. But even at that time, Sayyidina Rasulullah remembered his ummah. Allahu Ajib. Sayyidina Rasulullah remembered his ummah. The next part of the conversation, Sayyidina Rasulullah said, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadullahi s-salih. That peace be on us. The as-salamu alayna. This na zameer. This is all the difference. This is ummah. This is the dard, the gham, which Sayyidina Rasulullah had for his ummah. The fikr which he had for his ummah. As-salamu alayna. Peace be on us. On us, he included the ummah with him. Wa ala ibadullah, his salihin, and the righteous people of his ummah. Look at this. Sayyidina Rasulullah, he remembered us in the most amazing moment of his life. And me and you, we sometimes forget him in every moment of our life. We forget the sunnah, we forget the sunnah teachings. And even the angels at that time, Allah Akbar, the angels, they couldn't go in where this conversation was happening. But they were eavesdropping, like you eavesdrop behind the door. So they were listening to that conversation. And when they heard this, that Sayyidina Rasulullah making this dua, making this conversation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remembering his ummah, the angels were also so stunned, they were so amazed, that they also then, they said this, they said the words which comes after this, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. That we testify that there's no one worthy of worship except Allah, and we testify that Sayyidina Rasulullah is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Nabi, is the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angels testify to that, listening to this conversation, and listening to how much fikr and gham which Sayyidina Rasulullah had for this ummah. Me and you, we are born this ummah. The next step is that we should try to make our heart ummati. We should become ummati by choice. It's not a great feat to be born an ummati. That is something which we got for free. But to become an ummati by choice, that is something we should try to do, and that is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does qadr of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values this choice when a person tries to adorn himself with become an ummati in the true sense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does qadr of such a person. So much qadr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him his beloved. Right? Fattabi'uni yuhibbukumullah. Go back to that verse. Yuhibbukumullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes such a person beloved. So make dua tonight that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in his love for him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our ittiba of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our ita'ah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our emulation of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our love for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make it easy for us to follow each and every sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and make it a means for us to draw close to him, and make it a means for us to become the true beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this intention from us tonight. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.